skies up above. Everyone's in love up a lazy river. How happy you could be up a lazy river with me.
Oh,
up a lazy river by the old mill run. The lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree.
Don't forget your troubles, dream a dream with me.
Up a lazy river where the robins song awaits the bright new morning, where we can move along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up a lazy river, how happy you could be. Up a lazy river with me. Up a lazy river with me.
Till then, my darling, please wait for me. Till then, no matter when it will be, one day I know I'll be back again. Please wait till then. Our dreams will live though we are apart. Our love I know we'll keep in our hearts. Till then, when all the world will be free, please wait for me.
And there's no waiting now, because we're live in the studios with the new WHFR Journal. This is WHFR Dearborn. Now it's time for our public affairs show about Dearborn and the local area, local news and alternative views. All part of Radiothon 2009. This is the new WHFR Journal for Friday, April the 24th, and we're going to start off with our special guest here, Radiothon 2009. The phone number is, just for those of you who are wondering, their once-a-year pledge drive, and the phone number is 313-845-9676. We have people standing around the office, and somebody will pick up 9676, option one. We believe that we have our distinguished, honorable mayor of Dearborn, Mayor O'Reilly, on the phone now. Are you there, Mayor?
Yes, hi, Jay. How you doing?
Hey, it's great to hear from you. I'm sorry you couldn't be in the studio with us as you were last year. Where are you located right now?
I'm in Boston right now.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we certainly appreciate your taking the time out. What's going on in Boston?
Well, I have a son that's looking at colleges for next year, and one of the ones he's looking at is here, so we made the trip out so he could do his visit.
Okay, well, that's it's got a lot of good colleges in the Boston area.
Oh, yeah.
I know, but
amazing.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Not dropping any names there, but I certainly
that's
hope he.
Not the one. Yeah.
It's about $26,000 a year, I think, for that
that's
one.
Right.
So that would
I can't afford any of them.
That would take a hit from most mayor's salaries. Yeah. We hope you're going to have a successful visit out there. Let me, if I can keep you for a few minutes, we're sort of fading in and out on your phone call there.
I'm sorry.
But
I'm
no,
sorry.
It's fine.
Right. Is that any better?
We're fine. Yeah.
All right.
We don't want the feedback level any higher. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I think we're good. Okay, let me just start by asking you what you're primarily concerned about, like in the near future here in Dearborn. Your schedule, let's say, for next week. There's been some exciting things happening in the past couple of months. Maybe I'll just review that, though, first. That intermodal train station where we're going to try to renovate the city as well as West Dearborn with a new location, perhaps, and that's a long-term project. It's going to take many years, but what do you see as the current status of that project?
Well, we hope to have the first phase done by October of 2010 to coincide with the new commuter rail system that starts then between Ann Arbor and Detroit, and we're one of five stations on that proposed route.
Okay, and I heard that, of course, you don't know what the time frames are, is that maybe some of one of the various funding sources from the federal government might even be able to pay for some of the high-speed rail connection between the station and Chicago, for example. Is that your understanding,
too?
That's
right. That's an Amtrak. We have two things going on simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
There's a need to upgrade the rail service, the Amtrak rail service, and that's the high-speed rail Chicago to Detroit. And then the other one is the commuter rail, which we were able to, after about 12 years, the state of Michigan was able to get the U.S. Department of Transportation to allow us to go into what's called a demonstration project, a three-year period where we try out commuter rail, and if we get a ridership of 1,000 riders a day or more, then they'll authorize us to go forward to develop a full-blown system.
Yeah, that's going to be very exciting because of all of the transportation. We become a real location here for the Detroit area, and hopefully, I know several people at the meeting that I attended, I guess it was last November perhaps, spoke, of course, too, about, gee, can we ever get directly connected to, say, Toledo and then on to New York City to go the other direction, too. But that's down the road, one step at a time, of course. So
that's correct, but although Ann Arbor is working on a northern connection right now, so these things become more and more viable as each piece goes into place.
Right.
They're working on a private rail line to add service from Ann Arbor up to Howell with the goal of eventually extending it up like the Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, we have a strong need to connect through the U.S. to the East Coast, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we've eventually got to get some kind of rail service from Detroit to Toledo.
I'll remind our listeners, it is Radiothon 2009 here in a special interview all the way from Boston with Dearborn's Mayor John B. O'Reilly, Jr. Tell me about this situation of both East and West Dearborn development. I think good news is we're moving forward kind of nicely, I guess, or at least according to schedule, on the Ward's Block area development there at Schaefer and Michigan, right?
That's correct. Next week we will close on it, and the groundbreaking will occur on the 29th. And they're ready to go. They've got equipment ready to start the project.
And, of course, because of that development, it's bound, additional traffic and people coming in that area bound to help other businesses in East Dearborn. And it's a wonderful thing, kind of sparks that are set off by new development. But West Dearborn, my goodness, the city felt compelled to file a suit against Burton Katzman. And the thing that troubled me the most is one of the aspects of the suit was that it seems like they have kind of like, gone out of business? Or at least that was the impression. I know they've countered by saying they didn't, but...
Well, they think that they had substituted an LLC with no assets for the Burton Katzman Development Company, but they did not achieve that legally.
Mm.
And they went ahead and dissolved the company that we had our contract with.
Oh.
And I don't think it was deliberate. I think it was probably a mistake on their attorney's part or something else, but it violates state law, and that was a trigger. We said, we've got to bring this to closure. But more importantly, we've got some interest in some development in West Dearborn, and it's each piece kind of depends on the other. For example, as you mentioned, with the Oakwood project going forward at Michigan Schaefer, we've had a couple of developers come in and talk about some other locations in that area. With the Kroger's closing, for example, when we had two Kroger's in East and West End.
Right, that seems
Kroger's
silly, but
closed, but there have been some food, grocer-type operations that wanted to come in. Kroger will not sell, of course, their Kroger's building for anything that compete with them.
Uh-huh.
So people are talking about other locations there. They believe there's still a market there for that. So that's creating some opportunity, which is good.
Yeah.
And then in the West Dearborn, we've got some a developer who's looking at kind of doing some projects. Obviously, right now the economy sort of gives everybody pause because people have really cut back on spending, and we see it everywhere. I always talk about the fact that it happened to me, it happened to a lot of people, those of us who didn't have pensions and so on, were at 401ks, we had IRAs, and when you get got our year-end statements in January, it was the first time that you were looking face-to-face with how much of your asset had been lost over the past year.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people kind of went into the mode that, oh my God, I'm going to really stop spending, stop eating out at restaurants, stop, you know, I mean, just people reacted in a way that really hurt our market. I've talked to many business owners who said that February and March were some of the worst months they've had, and I think it really was that people began to realize how they were being directly impacted by some of the economic events.
Yeah, we're hoping, of course, during our pledge drive going on this week here at WHFR, that people will see the reasons to continue giving, not only to us, but other nonprofits too. And I have to say, in case you left on Wednesday or even early yesterday, it's 74 degrees in Dearborn today and very sunny. And so what we need is a little warm weather, both literally and also maybe it'll raise the optimism, you know, metaphorically of the people.
Jay, you've hit a real important point. For the economy to rebound, we have to get people to be willing to spend money and particularly focus their spending on local purchases, and particularly, again, it's that idea of buy local, buy Michigan. If not buy Michigan, buy U.S. first. Really try and be more conscious of how we're helping keep the money in our economies, whether it's our local economy, whether it's our state economy. People have to look at that, and that's the same thing with giving. We need to take care of our own first, which means we should give locally. But if people sit on their money or as I said, as savings have tended to go up, that's really not a positive indicator for rebuilding or rebounding the economy.
Sure, sure. But, you know, people have to feel comfortable with what they're doing. And, of course, they can always feel comfortable with WHFR. If I haven't given the phone number recently for our pledges, folks, you can talk to Lynn, who is here from her show on Saturday, No Boys Allowed, and she will talk to boys and men and children. If you call 313-845-9676. If your kids, remember, you need your parents' permission to use the charge card. But we're taking pledges only this week. Once a year, we survive on listener donations, and a lot of you have been very generous already this week. But in case you're, well, only listening to this show, then by all means, call now, 313-845-9676, and Lynn is covering the phones in the live studio, so that's option one, or also known as extension one. What about the parking thing? I hate to bring up old news.
No, that's right.
In West Dearborn. No. What's the status of paid parking?
Well, the paid parking is a commitment we made based on the best information available at the time, which was we had empirical studies that showed that before we committed to building the decks, we had parking density in that whole area. There was no parking spaces available from 11:30 till 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd gone out and done counts and so on. So we had good data. And so in order to add new development, which was the West Village Commons, the project you just talked about a moment ago, we needed to add more additional parking to support these large developments that Burton Castleman was going to build. So the city did its part. It built the parking deck so that the hotel and the office building could be built. We did that first because in timing that made sense from a construction standpoint. Unfortunately, with Burton Castleman never going forward in building those, the revenue stream and the usage rates never materialized, and that left us, you know, having to pay debt service with general funds, which was never anticipated and should not have happened.
Right.
We're working on a project, and one of the things that is very viable right now, we have some active investors that are we're close to, I think, getting a deal is for student housing.
Mm.
For University of Michigan Dearborn, but it would also be for Henry Ford Community College if students.
Yeah.
In other words, it would be private student housing, so it would be, I think they'd want to make sure that people living there were full-time students, but where you're a student would not be the material issue. And again, they'd be really nice new build. University of Michigan Flint opened a dormitory last fall, and they had huge waiting lists, and it's been extremely successful.
Yeah.
And it's the way to grow the university campus. They,
yeah.
They'd like to go from 8,500 students to 12,000.
Right. Well, you know, we're pushing 18,000 students right now currently enrolled full and part-time here at Henry Ford Community College. And, we had an open house a couple days ago that I talked to many people that came by the radio station here on the campus. They're coming here because, yes, our tuition is reasonable compared to starting out at a four-year school. But I bet a few more if they could have somewhat reasonable room and board in that kind of facility would also consider coming here from so-called outstate.
Well, particularly because Henry Ford has some very unique training programs both in healthcare and in some of the emerging technologies. Even in film, they're one of the first colleges to offer some training for film gripping,
right.
Elementary gripping and gapping. So
right.
I agree with you. I think that there is demand, and many times these are older people, older than your traditional high school graduates, who are coming back to get new skills. My own sister had a bachelor's degree, had worked for a number of years, and then came back to Henry Ford, and this is many years ago, to get a computer sciences degree, and that's what's made her, or she's made her living ever since. It's been probably over 15 years that has been, it was the community college degree that has been making her living very comfortable, not so much the bachelor's degree. So I think there are other people, particularly in this economy, who are in that position.
Time for me to plug the fact that our telecommunication program, as we call it here at Henry Ford Community College, is instruction in audio, video, production skills, as well as the knowledge about the history and the current status of these industries. And that's definitely going to be a growth industry in the future. Even now, people spend, 10 or more hours a day on one electronic media or another, and we're the only community college, I think, in the Detroit area that has the full range of courses, 18 different classes, all transferable to places like Wayne and U of D Mercy and Eastern and MSU, and we're very happy with that program, and it's busting at the seams even. We have that much interest, and perhaps that will help people get ready for whatever jobs, new jobs, might be available at in the new film studios that are going up. I'm not sure the status of the one in Pontiac, but in the papers this week, I was going to talk about the new Allen Park development, Unity Studios, I think they're going to call it. Mr. Lifton, not James Lipton, the interviewer on TV, but Mr. Lifton, who has ties here, although he's a Hollywood producer, apparently. So that's pretty exciting because that's bound to generate a good amount of business for all the areas. I know you've been interviewed in the paper and point out how that much activity and that many people is bound to help all of us in the nearby community.
Well, Dearborn has taken a position actively supporting the Allen Park project. This project has a very well-developed plan. They are going to open four brand-new built studios on their campus by October of this year.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they can do that is because all the rest of the infrastructure, the other the editing studios and the construction for sets and all that can go into existing buildings, so they don't have to build any of that.
Sure.
All they have to build is four, and they're four adjacent studios that are 100 feet by 100 feet with 50-foot ceilings.
Right.
Once they build that, everything else is already there that they need to start operating as a studio. So they've got a wonderful plan because the studios they're going to build are going to be state-of-the-art new studios, but all of the supporting pieces are already in place, and that gives them a jump start. Now, the Pontiac one is also affiliated with an existing California operation, but they're converting an old plant into a studio.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of an exciting thing for us because not only will it create jobs, it'll also fill up our hotels. It'll give us trade business. Some of our other businesses will become suppliers to the studio. And the long-term plan for the studio is incredibly exciting. Now, it's going to be phased in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everything's not going to happen at once. But if they start operating in October, and I believe they can, that's going to have a direct and immediate impact.
And of course, the sort of the state stimulus is that fantastic. It's a rebate of like 42% or something to the cost of the studios in their operations. I don't know if it's per project or per investment, but the state of Michigan is certainly doing making a major contribution here to get those industries up and running.
Well, that's been the major reason that we've seen the studios this year in Dearborn. We had Hillary Swank here doing a made-for-TV movie that she's producing, and she was shooting at the Dearborn Inn. She's actually using Dearborn locations to represent some East Coast locations where the movie's actually set.
Sure.
Last year, of course, we had Cuba Gooding Jr. staying in Dearborn while he was shooting the movie on the helping hands of Dr. Martin, who was a Detroit doctor who did a lot with child care and child health care. And that movie's already aired, and that was shot here. Gran Torino was shot in our local area.
Mm-hmm.
So the effort of Governor Granholm to create an incentive has been extremely successful. They continue to evaluate it, but definitely it's been a springboard for getting interest here. And I guess Clint Eastwood went back to Hollywood and has praised Michigan as a place to do films, which is, again, very good for this area.
We have a lot of experience and talent here because of the large number of production facilities we used to have and a lot of people involved in those for business and industry. We were like the third largest corporate film and video production facility, that is for corporate news and information and publicity and advertising needs back in the 80s and 90s, and that's declined a little bit, but we have still great talent here, such as yourself. You had, was it an acting career many years ago?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I belonged to all three acting unions in Detroit, SAG, AFTRA, and Equity, and there was just a lot of business. I supported myself with that, and I actually paid for law school with just working in the local industry. So, it was robust in the late 70s, 80s, mostly into the 90s a bit. Detroit was cranking out probably as much film in total as film and video as California was. The GM had its own studio in the Argonaut building, Jam Handy, Sandy Corporation, Victor Studios. We had Jack Frost Lighting, which is a major. They wish they were here today because today they'd be getting business again. So, Detroit area was a very strong media market, we had a lot of very talented people here. And then, as you said, many have stayed on. They're doing, as you are doing, they're doing a little of this and some teaching and other things. But again, it was a place where you could literally make your living, and people still do. Wayne Parker, who's a local person I worked with originally. First time we worked together was at Greenfield Village selling snake oil out of a wagon. He's made his whole career here, and he's done very well.
Well, I don't know if that's a qualification to political office, but it certainly allows you to be a great communicator and to speak about these issues in detail. We're not going to hold you up more than just a few more minutes because we know that you've got your agenda for today out there with in Boston, and we just appreciate you're here for our pledge drive. The number for pledges to WHFR-FM, our annual pledge drive, please consider whatever you can to support our unique local independent radio station. We need your pledges. Henry Ford Community College gives us the same small amount of money they give to the newspaper, and the same amount to the theater program and the music program, and we're all deserving, and to the sports program. We get our equal share, and we need help from you during this pledge drive. A pledge of $30 will get you all kinds of pledge incentives that have been donated and really don't cost us anything. So please call my friend Lynn right now at 313-845-9676, option 1. And she'll be glad to take your pledge right now. Let's see. I guess just as a follow-up or a segue, as they say on radio, to the film studio and your acting career, you just couldn't stay away, could you? Dearborn High School students ask you to be part of Dare to be Amish, which is going to be premiering in May at the Ford Center. Describe your experience with that.
so much fun. You know, every year our students do a wonderful job of producing a feature film. I mean, they write, they produce, they design, they do all of the gripping, gaffing, the cinematography. Everything is done by students, and they do a wonderful job. And this year they wrote one about a young man who's Amish who has to deal with the conflict between you know, staying in the Amish community or going out in the world of electronics and things, which he's very interested in, and sort of his perspective coming from the Amish community when he goes to a regular high school, how he sees things a lot differently than the students who sort of come up in that culture, in this culture of their high school.
What part do you play?
Well, I'm a judge. Okay. I'm a judge who basically sentences him to go out in the real world, because he can't give up his electronic devices, and what's funny is, of course, they required. I agreed to do it last fall, and then when it got time and they sent me the script, they said, "Oh, by the way, you have to shave off your mustache."
Uh-oh.
Because Amish men cannot have a mustache.
Right.
For them, it's a symbol of something negative. And I also didn't know that you can't grow a beard until you marry. Instead of wearing a wedding ring, the beard is a symbol that a man is married. So anyway, it was a great experience, and you know, for me, it was a matter of, geez, I had to change my look, which, you know, I thought, well, you know, I'm out in the public so much. I said, no, what the heck? I mean, how would it be if I told these young people that my looks were more important than their film? So, shaved off the mustache and trimmed the beard down for this, and it was just a great thing. And the May 7th is the premiere. It's a premiere at our Community and Performing Arts Center. And
we're going to be having an interview with four of the lead cast and crew members next Friday on the show. So that'll be exciting to have them in.
Them.
Yeah, and we're going to find out more about the background, and they'll talk about your acting cred too, I'm sure.
Well, I'm a very small part, Jay. People who have the larger parts really did a great job. I've seen some of the final edits, and they really, you know, this program in Dearborn, we have had students coming out of our high schools that have gone on to the best training facilities for film and television, and then gone on to work in the industry and be very successful. And that's the same thing you were talking about with Henry Ford. It's not everybody can go to school, but if you learn the things and if you get the tools you need, especially in these specific occupations, that means everything.
Let's finish up with what I said we're going to start with, which is what's your biggest concerns in the next week or two or month coming back to Dearborn here? That stimulus money, just a suggestion from the federal government, has it started flowing in yet, or in negotiations of what to do with that?
Well, a lot of people didn't understand. There's really, the money is in two halves. One half comes by formula, which means that they gave out half to get it out quickly and get it in use quickly. They used the existing funding streams the federal government had for example, educational buildings, for certain Title I programs, for our local municipalities, water and sewer projects, road projects. So they just simply used a way that federal funds already come down, and they sort of pump more money into them.
Mm-hmm.
But it came by formula, so it's based on a formula based on things like the population size, the poverty level, the tax base. So they have a formula for that. That's how half of it came down. The other half will be direct federal awards from the government, which are to specific projects. That's the competitive phase. Now, that's really just gearing up now. And that's where the bread and butter is. That's where the real stimulus for projects, for local economic development are going to arise out of that pot. And that's still very much up in the air. And that's not going to be like formula. Some states may get proportionally more than others if they have better projects, they've got better, can make better case for their projects. And we're working very hard on the train station idea and some new rail, second rail there,
mm-hmm.
So we can make the commuter rail work. And we're working very hard on getting some money for a conference convention center next to the Hyatt Regency.
Right, I was going to mention that too, yes.
Yeah, to attract more regional business. We could get $88 million of new spending from out of state, people coming into our state from out of state who aren't coming here now to spend spend their money in and around Dearborn in our area. And that would be a huge, huge boost to our local economy and help our businesses stay in business.
So if I'm clear on this, we're beginning a stage of for that second part of stimulus from the federal government, sort of a negotiation stage, or is it just a review by federal authorities with a couple of visits for input, or is it?
It's like that, except that, you know, it's very competitive. Mm-hmm. What they're saying is we're going to award it to the projects that we see will create the most jobs and sustain jobs, not just create a job during the period of construction, as many of these projects will, but they'll also create sustainable jobs. We're going to look at things like how much they'll affect the local economy and help generate new spending. Those are the kinds of issues. That's where you're going to see probably, you know, the first projects will get people working, they'll get them on the street, but most of them will be people who already have specific skills in construction and so on. This next phase is one where their choices are going to be based on what's going to have the long-term impact, what's going to keep the economy churning, not just this year and next year, but over the long run. And so it's going to get very exciting. Also, another category are environmental projects, which is very exciting, where they're looking for some really cutting-edge projects, some projects, again, that will have long-term cost reductions, which are another way to generate the economy, because if you save money in one place, you're likely to spend it somewhere else.
Of course.
So again, these are where I think you're going to see the potential for tremendous impact from this stimulus money.
Well, I want to conclude by just saying thank you for all of your efforts. There's so many things that are happening and many more things that need to keep happening too, and you're at the center of it, and we want to thank you for all that work on behalf of the city of Dearborn. Of course, it's a very challenging job, especially in these days, but we know that you have a lot of good ideas, a lot of new ideas that you suggested, and we're very happy to talk to you today, and anytime, you know, that you want to make a case for something, certainly give me a call and come back on our show.
Well, and Jay, I just want to tell your listeners that they really need to open their pocketbooks, because there are two things, and this is very sincere. One is you cannot get the local kind of spin, the local information from anywhere as well as you can get it from WHFR. And the other part is that you won't hear the range of music, and you don't have the opportunity to influence what's on the air as much as you do at HFR. So,
and we're the number one. Yeah, we're the number one station supporting local musicians too, Dearborn and elsewhere, and we're very happy of that privilege too.
You'll get my check, and I hope everybody
else will send
their checks, because really, without it, if we lose it, it won't be replaced. If you can't sustain your operation, that'll be another just great asset lost to the community. So.
Wow.
People really need to find a way to make a contribution.
Thank you so much for saying that. The phone number, folks, is 313-845-9676. Option one for the live studio. Lynn is here to take the call while I finish up the show. Thank you so much for your phone call from Boston today. Have a good trip back.
Yep. And join my family. They're on the campus somewhere here looking around.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. I hope the weather is as great as it is here, but see you soon.
Beautiful.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jay. Bye-bye.
That was Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. for the last half hour here on the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views that you can't get anywhere else on your dial, which is why you should call us right now. Make a pledge of support. Anything you feel comfortable in giving us at the $30 level, we have a number of pledge incentives that you qualify for. First-time pledger, special incentive, special prize drawing for a weekend lease of a 2010 Ford Fusion. From our friends at Village Ford, all kinds of things that we have available, equal to any other nonprofit that gives you little gifts or whatever, or thank yous for your pledge. And some of our people have called in this week. They said, "I don't want anything. You need all the money. You just straight and easy. Here's our pledge." And we know it's difficult times, but some things have to go on, even in difficult times, and we just have to do whatever we can to support us. So thanks to all of you that have already supported us. And if you're listening to this show on the the internet from our archive at whfr.fm. You know, we'll take those pledges anytime. 313-845-9676. If you just want to leave a voicemail message there at that number, if nobody answers whenever you're calling, if you're listening to the show anytime other than Friday from 1 to 2 on April 24th, then we'll get back to you and we'll get all the information and take your pledge shortly after you leave that, within a day or two probably. But today, 313-845-9676, option one, please make a generous contribution to our very special local radio station, WHFR-FM. It's all tax deductible too, you know, right here at Henry Ford Community College, nonprofit organization. We'd love to have your pledge of support right now. Don't put it off. Only two more days. We won't be doing it officially on the air next week. We never intrude more than 1 week a year into our regular and very special local programming. 313-845-9676. Call now, and here's the official announcement about it all, and I'll be back with more of the new WHFR Journal in just a moment.
For over 23 years, WHFR has been dedicated to being a voice of fresh local alternative programming here in the Dearborn, Detroit area and on the web at WHFR.fm. We are committed to the mission of playing local and independent music for your enjoyment and for presenting a range of talk show topics that you won't hear elsewhere. That's our ongoing pledge to you, real local alternative programming that you will not find anywhere else on the Detroit radio dial. 1 week out of the year, WHFR asks for something in return. Your pledge of financial support during our annual on-air drive called Radiothon. This year, Radiothon takes place from Sunday, April 19th through Saturday, April 25th. This is the only time that we will interrupt our programming to ask for your help. We've got some brand new WHFR logo incentive items for you to enjoy with your donation. Great benefit music concerts and some special on-air surprises as well. So be sure to tune in and to call 313-845-9676 with your pledge during Radiothon 2009. From all of the staff here at WHFR, thank you for your support.
That's right. The phone number is 313-845-9676. We want to thank Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. for calling in from Boston. He's always on the job for us. That's nice to know. We do appreciate all of his comments about WHFR, too. If the phone line, Lynn just got a call, in fact, and so if the phone line is busy at extension 1, option 1, I do apologize that because I have to talk on the air, I can't talk on the phone at the same time, and we don't like to, for personal, you know, private reasons, give out personal information like credit card numbers that we have to take, so we can't do it while the DJ is live. But other people are here, and Lynn will be glad to take your pledge, continue to repeat the number, as will Joanne Korchinska, coming up at 2 o'clock with her Highway 61 Blues Show, Radiothon show number 2. She always does 2 because so many great blues supporters and only so much time to answer the phones. So we got a lot of special guests, a lot of special giveaways starting at 2 also. But you wouldn't believe all the incentives we have and the special opportunities if you're into that, folks. But we will be glad to take your pledge at any time. 313-845-9676. This goes through tomorrow. We hope you'll consider a generous donation to support a very, very unique local institution and that you just you won't find us anywhere else. So many cities are saying, we want local radio where we can have our own voice. Well, it's already here. And we have good relationships with the city of Dearborn, and we're dependent on volunteers and their knowledge and experience for new shows, more talk shows or more local issue shows are all possible. We want to do it in a responsible, professional way with volunteers, and so we're somewhat dependent on the nature of the people that come and take our training class here. We invite everybody to sign up for the non-credit version through our HFCC College of Lifelong Learning or Center for Lifelong Learning, no college credit. It's an 8-week class and 2 hours a week plus homework. Oh yeah, there's homework to learn about the station, all of our rules, regulations, the equipment we have, and basics on how to operate it, all essential before you can get on the air. or help us in some other way off the air. We need a lot of people always helping behind the scenes, too. 313-845-9676. Option 1 is our pledge number. Please consider calling and make a generous donation. Back to news and alternative views here on the new WHFR Journal in our remaining 22 minutes. I got this in the mail. What a happy letter that it seems that the economic recovery bill that President Obama signed into law in February 2009 provides, among other things, for a one-time payment of $250 to Social Security and Supplemental Security Income beneficiaries. That Supplemental Social Security Income is called SSI. Never heard of that before, but I guess I'm glad it's there in case I need it. I have officially retired, and I am old, over 62. So I've started my Social Security payments. I'm part-time with the college now, and I do get a couple bucks, but sort of limited until I turn 66, what I can earn. But any event, so I'm going to get a check sometime before the end of May, and so will anyone else on Social Security, of $250. It'll come separate from the regular contribution. And so this is not just for me. It's for everybody who gets Social Security or SSI. And if you do have a direct deposit to some financial institution of yours, some account of yours, the payment will come separate from the usual check that's deposited from Social Security, by the way. And so you may not have seen this in the mail, but what was interesting, and I scrolled down here, if it says we will not count the one-time payment as income for SSI purposes. If you keep the one-time payment for 9 months or more, it will count toward your SSI resource limit. So I'm thinking, you know, first of all, it's not Social Security, but it has something to do with this SSI. And how do they know if you keep it in your savings account for 9 months or more? So the whole idea, folks, is if you don't spend it, you're not going to lose it, but it's not going to help the country. And I think, what was it, $50 last year? I didn't qualify for that. I think that was ridiculous. But they really want the people to get this $250. Although, spend it whatever is best for you, whichever way is best for you. If you got to pay off a bill or something, that's spending it, I think. That's what I'd call spending it. But you're not supposed to save it. I mean, they don't say that, but that's the way it goes. So, and you don't need to do anything to receive this payment. They don't want you to contact them unless you don't receive it by June 4th this year. Okay. And do not provide your personal information to someone who contacts you by phone or letter or whatever, requesting it to process your payment, requesting that company or person to process it. That's not it. Don't fall for that ruse. Somebody says, well, we're going to help you get that. You know, you've got to give us all your information and like your account numbers and your credit card number or something. We're going to put it right into your credit card. No, they're not going to call that way. If you need more information, visit socialsecurity.gov. And I've been making jokes the last couple of weeks here on the air. The other jokes, actually, all the opinions expressed here, including the jokes, are just mine, Jay Koronek, and my guests, of course, not necessarily anyone here at Henry Ford Community College. But, you know, socialism. Excuse me, we already have socialism, small s, in this country, and it's worked really well. Social Security is socialism. The post office, the United States Post Office, is Social Security, is socialism. Okay, Medicare is socialism. It seems to me it works pretty well, folks. That's my opinion. I don't think we need it for everything. No, not totalitarianism. If you want to, on Fox News cable news channel, for Pete's sake, get off your high horses. You know, totalitarianism is bad. Socialism, already we know in limited amounts, is good and has worked. Oh my gosh. I mean, just read the information, okay? No, we don't want dictatorship. We don't want totalitarianism, but socialism is good. Heard Howard Dean on the Kudlow Report, Financial News Channel last night. And Dean was stating, you know, George Bush and Henry Paulson November and December, they were all said, we've got to do this bailout. We got to put the money up there. Now, I think they were remiss, of course, in not setting up some guidelines and not asking for a full accounting, but they gave the money away, and now it's a little different. And Obama and Treasury Secretary Geithner and his team are asking for accountability, and they do have some criteria that they are putting over this. But they're not asking to nationalize the banks. They're not asking to, you know, they're not, folks. But regulation, and again, if these banks and these auto companies need the money, you expect the money to come with no strings attached? Of course not. You know, especially the unthoughtful, non-futuristic way that GM and Chrysler have been run for the last 20 years. And even Ford Motor Company had their problems, but thank goodness they were able to borrow enough money as a cash reserve to maybe get them through this without needing federal assistance. But if you need federal assistance to keep you afloat, I think you should expect some guidelines. And if you want to call it interference into your business model, then so be it. You want the billions of dollars or not from the average taxpayer? The average taxpayer has to have some protection from this. Well, there you go. Okay, we're finished with that. But thank you for the $250. I think I'm going to make a contribution to my favorite local radio station. Okay. Oh, I already did. Okay. And that number is 313-845-9676. Option one, we're taking pledges just this week, once a year, our annual pledge drive. Contributions have been a little slow coming in this week. We need stuff fixed and repaired. I saw during the, we've already spent a couple $1,000s on high-tech repairs of our audio consoles, so which this signal has to transfer before it gets to the antenna. And by golly, it's crazy, but Mayor O'Reilly, we only had one channel, and we've already been working on this. We have some problems with our phone equipment. I mean, it's in all, day in and day out use, along with this console, since 2005, and by golly, you know, 2002, excuse me, when we got in the new studio. In fact, you know, stuff does break down when it's 24/7. Would you like to hear two channels of Mayor O'Reilly the next time he calls in instead of just the left channel or the right channel, depending how your speakers are wired up? I think so. And why don't you make a pledge now to 313-845-9676, option one, so we can get the other channel on our phone calls. I mean, it's really, it's crazy, but, you know, yeah, last year we had a specific pledge pitch, and we needed to improve our internet services for those people that want to be up on what's going on and are beyond our 6 to 8 mile range, and that happened. Thank you so much for that. 2 years ago, our transmitter, our antenna, was in danger of falling down. All the wires that were holding the antenna tower in place were all rusted. And at any point, they could, and you helped us fix that. This year, we have just the usual stuff. The light bulbs, the CD players, the telephone interface. So we need your pledges. 313-845-9676. So almost 70% of the money to keep the station going comes from you, our listener. We've had some local businesses that have done what's called underwriting support, generous donations. The biggest donor went out of business this year, had to close their doors. We're losing thousands of dollars because they can't continue. I don't want to have to mention them because it wasn't their fault, but people in the studio here ready for the blues show didn't know who it was. But we have some other people that are continuing their support that way. But unlike certain other bigger radio stations, we don't have large companies and businesses that are making those pledge pitches, and we've lost a few. So it's up to you folks. By the way, we get no federal money, no state money. We use no money from Henry Ford Community College General Fund that comes from local taxpayers. It's the students that come here that pay a couple dollars extra for every credit hour that they sign up for, and it goes into what's called student service fees. And that helps to support many things, but also the sponsored activities, including WHFR. And, you know, even though our enrollment's gone up and costs have gone up, we're still allowed to have a steady, secure budget from the college, but it's the same as it was 10 years ago. And everybody knows costs have gone up the same amount. And so we're running leaner although not meaner, we hope, every single year. 313-845-9676. Help us to stay on the air. We have two channels instead of just one for important phone calls, and to keep the microphones being replaced and updated. So much special is going on here. We know you love us or you wouldn't be listening now. Please get to a phone and call us. Go to the website. You could do that too. The phone number, 313-845-9676, option one, the live studio. And yes, Lynn is in our backup studio, Studio B, B for backup, and she's going to pick up the lines while I'm talking. So don't worry. Say, well, Koronek, he can't. No, I'm not going to answer the phones until maybe the Blues Show gets started. But Lynn is there right now, 313-845-9676. On our website, you can either send us an email saying, I want to pledge, and we'll send you a pledge envelope to fill out either with your charge card or whatever, or you can just print out the form yourself from our website and then send it in to us yourself that way. Can't take direct cash contributions to the website. Sorry, it's a accounting office issue here that we can't overcome this year, I'm afraid. So call. That's the best way to do it. 313-845-9676. Moving on with a couple more local stories to finish up our hour. This is was scary. It was in the New York Times on Monday, April the 6th. And I know today is the 24th, but this is about Michigan. Edwina Nolan, a poor Michigan resident, was ordered to reimburse a juvenile detention center $104 a month for holding her 16-year-old son. When she explained to the court that she could not afford to pay, Nolan was sent to prison. That's right, debtors' prisons. They're, people are being put in jail because they can't pay their bills all across this country. It's called creative sentencing. Local court judges, if they choose, can do this. I thought it went out with the Middle Ages. You know, it never seemed logical to me. I think England, 16th century, 17th century, put people in jail for years because they were broken, couldn't pay their bills, didn't have a job. Well, they certainly can't get a job in prison. And although today, I guess you're allowed to make license plates or something, I'm not sure you really earn any money that way to pay your bills off. Well, poor Edwina, right here in Michigan, was sent to prison. And the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan, some people don't like the ACLU. I think they're great. I mean, they take up the cases of poor people when their rights are horrendously violated. This just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, they helped her get out after she spent 28 days behind bars, saying it is seeing more people, the ACLU, more people being sent to jail because they cannot make various court-ordered payments. In 1970, the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and this is according to the New York Times, they're on their editorial page from April 6, ruled that it violates equal protection to keep inmates in prison extra time because they're too poor to pay a fine or court cost. Prisoners' rights advocates worry that in these hard times, courts and prisons will get even tougher about forcing indigent, it's broke defendants to pay costs and fees and will imprison more of them if they cannot. The government should be helping people, says the New York Times, who are on society's margins, build productive lives. Throwing them in jail for being poor makes that much more difficult. And there's the cost to the rest of us to pay for their incarceration. I think in Michigan right now, and we have one of the largest prison populations per capita of any state in the U.S., not all because they're debtors, maybe just a few like Edwina here, Nolan, it cost over $50,000 to keep somebody in prison in Michigan. Couldn't you find a job for them for $50,000 and then they start to pay us back? Oh, of course, some of them are too dangerous to let out on the streets maybe, and they did horrendous things and we don't want them around. But why do we have so many prisoners? This is a rhetorical question because I don't know the answer. Why do we have so many? And couldn't we do something better with that $50,000 a year per prisoner at the state level? Well, just a thought, and it even made it to the New York Times that we're doing it right here in Michigan. Okay, looking at the local press and guide and Times Herald, and thank goodness we still have two newspapers in Dearborn. City of Detroit barely has two newspapers remaining, and both of the papers, they do home delivery in Dearborn. Yes, they still do. It's difficult for them, costly, but they do. And so I subscribe to both because they're not both the same. You know, they have different stories, different times. Talking to Mayor O'Reilly, he's now got five people that have taken out petitions that may return them by May 12th and may be running against him in the primary. 26 people have taken out petitions for Dearborn City Council. The big election will be, of course, in November, but they probably will need, if all these people return their petitions, a primary at the end of the summer. Usually it's in August. It hasn't been mentioned. The only interesting thing, and we mentioned it last week, is that Doug Thomas, somebody else took out a petition for him for mayor. He didn't. He doesn't know now if he's going to be running for council. He went in to take out a petition to run for council again. And, of course, if they don't turn it in, of course, then they won't be on the ballot. And they even have until the 15th, 3 days after they turn it in, to pull it back, to withdraw their candidacy. So we'll have to let you know in May exactly who's there, but that's a big deal. MEEP scores, that's the Michigan Assessment, Educational Assessment Program, whatever. Local districts, well, they're not doing as well as the state. I mean, I have to put a negative spin on this. If you look at statewide numbers for English language arts, in 2008 it was 77%. Crestwood, just in English alone, was only at 73% passing. Dearborn District as a whole was 71%, and so on. Now, I look down this list here, which is on the front page of last Sunday's Dearborn Press and Guide, and one of the academies, that's a charter school in Dearborn, called Star International Academy. Now, we don't know how they get their students. We don't know how much they charge for their tuition, but they came out 86th percentile. In English language arts, much better than the state of Dearborn and the whole state average. Now, a lot of the academies are much lower, so I'm not saying academies or charter schools are better, because a lot of them, 49%, 62%, Dearborn Academy, 51%, Riverside Academy, 49%, but Star International, 86%. In math this year, Star International Academy, 91% achieving state standards, and in science, 85%. And Dearborn City School District in science, only 71% this year. So there are pockets of great innovation and success around the country. And I know it's a challenge at the federal level, that President Obama wants to do something to identify what went right in these places, whether it was charter schools or public schools, and try to help support what went right in other places. And of course, what works in one part of the country for various environmental and cultural reasons may not work in another part. But congratulations for me, the Star International Academy, whatever they're doing there, or whatever kinds of students they have. Maybe they just have great students going there in the first place who just aren't in the public school to raise the numbers. Who knows? But great work there. Also looking, 4 minutes to go before a big blues show, Joanne Korchinska's Highway 61. Our special friends from the Detroit Blues Society are already in the studio ready to help take your pledge. And we have Spider Wolfgang and Steve Allen, both key members over the years and president at times. Both of you, oh my gosh. We got two presidents, former presidents, and I guess you always have to refer to them as a president once they were a president once. That's what they do in politics. So we got two presidents here, and the mayor too. Joanne is coming in now to the studio, so I'm going to get out of here and play her theme in a moment. A couple more stories here. Let's see. Things I circled. We had some tax day protests, folks, of course, on the 15th last week. Didn't want to push too much for the usual cause, but investigate the Fair Tax for Michigan, mifairtax.org. It's a great plan. It won't cut your taxes, but it'll make your taxes a lot more understandable and identifiable. And it'll get rid of, like at the federal, if there was federal fair tax, no IRS. That's right, no withholding. You get all your money. And there is a rather large tax on what you buy. 26% is the number. But you get also a supplement check every month to pay the poor people and everybody else for your basics, you know, of life, food and housing and so on, which you got to pay tax on everything. But you get this supplement check. Everybody gets an equal amount. And that takes the people over reimburses them for the basics. And then after that, well, the people that spend more, they pay more. And nobody escapes, not those illegal immigrants. Nobody escapes from paying the consumption tax. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful idea, along with several others that we can't get into today. Thank you to Times Herald last Sunday, their big editorial about the blame game, about what happened here at Henry Ford Community College on Good Friday, borders on the ridiculous. They're right on target. No one is to blame. This is a wonderful, safe campus, and things happen. Terrible things happen in our world, but we're going to do better, all of us, collectively, to make sure that that's very, very infrequent and maybe never again. And that's our commitment here at Henry Ford Community College. Thank you to Mayor O'Reilly for calling in earlier. I'm going to say goodbye for now. Remind you that our pledge drive is in progress. That magic phone number, 313-845-9676, option one, to keep WHFR on the air, loud and strong, both channels, and help us pay the bills. Thank you so much for considering a generous pledge. This is Jay Koronek for the new WHFR Journal from WHFR.fm, the station making waves, saying thank you for listening and stay tuned for Highway 61, the best of the blues and best of local blues here coming right up. WHFR, Dearborn.
South of Memphis, Tennessee.